Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up tomorrow on the program, the founder of the Vanguard Group, John Bogle, tells us what he thinks is right and wrong with mutual funds and American capitalism today. The legendary John Bogle on tomorrow's show. Right now, 3 days ago, Nobel Prize winner Aung San Suu Kyi was released from house arrest in her home in Myanmar, formerly known as Burma, as you have been hearing all over the news. This release, which was timed by the junta military leaders to come directly after a series of elections within the country that, of course, were swept by the junta-backed party, has still brought international attention back to the Burma government. Suu Kyi is one of those amazing Gandhi-esque Nobel Peace Prize winners who is globally admired for her nonviolent but dogged work for democracy and human rights. She's on, you know, most people's best people in the world list. And it's important to remember, though, that this has happened before this release. In 2002, Aung San Suu Kyi was released after a 19-month stint under house arrest, but it was short-lived. A year later, she was back under house arrest after a series of brutal attacks on her motorcade killed some of her followers. So how long will this release last? How much can Aung San Suu Kyi hope to drive a change in the oppressive political climate of Myanmar, one of the worst governments of the world? Well, Suzanne DiMaggio, the Director of Policy Studies at the Asia Society, joins us now to discuss the high-profile release and what it might mean for human rights, democracy in Burma. Suzanne, welcome to WNYC.
It's a pleasure to be with you, Brian.
And let's give our listeners another moment of history about Aung San Suu Kyi. She won the Nobel Peace Prize in the early 90s. Why has she been left under house arrest for so much of the time since? And what is her role in the Burmese political scene?
Well, a little over 20 years ago, the last time Burma held elections, she and her party swept the elections in an unprecedented win. The military junta did not like the results, and that's when they arrested her. So she is the rightful leader of the country. She's refused to cave in to their restrictions. She refused to leave the country because she was afraid she couldn't get back. So for the last 15 of 21 years, she has been either in prison or held in detention. During this time, her husband died in England. She was not able to see him. She hasn't seen her children in 10 years. Most of her grandchildren she's never met. So she has sacrificed a lot for her country, and she's an icon of democracy. She represents hope for the people of Burma.
And people don't know much about Burma, you know, partly because it's been so shut down since this the military leaders took power decades ago now. They changed the name to Myanmar from Burma. It's not seen as a legitimate name change. Generally, that's why we say Myanmar or Burma. But what's the bigger picture of conditions or human rights in that country? What is life really like there?
Well, you're absolutely right. It is one of the most isolated countries in the world today, maybe ranked up there only second to North Korea. In terms of the political and economic conditions, they're absolutely deplorable. Widespread poverty, no economic opportunities whatsoever, education system in shambles. And what's so striking about this is in the 1950s, Burma was one of the major economic powers of Asia. It was the rice basket of Asia, and a famous World Bank report released back then pointed to Burma as the future of Asia. And since the military has taken over, it's just devastated the country.
Why'd they release her?
That's a very good question. Well, first of all, her detention coincided with this election. They wanted to keep her in detention so that she and her party could not participate in the election. So they got that, and the results are this new government that's overwhelmingly stacked with military and retired senior officers. They are releasing her now for a couple of reasons. I think it's likely an attempt to deflect attention away from the widespread reports of voter fraud and rigging in an election. And now people, the international world is focused on this in a positive way. Also, they may now think that they have the government they want in place. Releasing her might be the right time to do so, but they're taking a risk because when they last released her, she's been back and forth in jail and in detention, but this time in our technologically plugged world, I mean, people everywhere know who she is now. She's talking about getting a Twitter account. She's got something like 500,000 friends on Facebook. It's a different world now, and I wonder how much the regime can control her outreach and appeal.
And there is speculation that Suu Kyi herself will again take control of her political party, the National League for Democracy. It has been ruled illegal by the military rulers of Burma. Mm-hmm. So is this going to be a test of her new freedom right away?
It is, and she's made it clear that she's not going, she didn't agree to any restrictions on her release. One of the first things she's doing is trying to reinstate her party as a legal entity, and I think she's already filed a motion to do that. So it's clear that she is focused on a goal of being politically active again.
And large portions of the National League for Democracy, many of her colleagues, are still being held in prison, correct?
That's right. Human Rights Watch estimates over 2,100 people being held as political prisoners today.
So what can she actually do? What do you expect to happen?
I think there are two things she's going to focus on. One is that, as is just what you mentioned, getting the release, securing the release of other political prisoners that are languishing in prisons throughout Burma. Second is to start some process of reconciliation that brings together all the various groups in Burma in dialogue, including the military junta, new government, ethnic groups within the country, and other pro-democracy groups, not only the NLD, but other groups that have emerged just prior to this election. So she's made it clear that that's one of her top priorities.
The junta-backed Union Solidarity and Development Party claims to have won 80% of the vote in that most recent election. Is it a clearly rigged, or I should say, is a clearly rigged democratic election better than no election at all?
Oh, it's such a hard question to answer. It really depends on what happens next. Of course, this is a very positive step with her release, but people are greeting it with cautious optimism. Indeed, this new government, which by all accounts it was a rigged election, if this new government that is dominated by military and retired senior officers can include a civilianized portion, the upside of the elections is that there is a sprinkling of representation now from opposition and ethnic groups, very small in number. But the big question that has yet to be answered is, can competing centers of power emerge now that this new parliament is in place? And what is that going to look like? And will the senior generals maintain that tight grip? Another big question is, what's going to happen to Senior General Tang Shui? It's unclear exactly what role he will play in the new government. The more optimistic view is that these generals, who are well into their 70s, realize that they can't hold on to power forever, and they may be looking for a golden parachute. I think that's the best-case scenario.
Aung San Suu Kyi is waiting to say if she thinks the international community should remove sanctions, remove blockades against the government because of the effect that they have on the people of Burma. Some analysts list this support as the only real negotiating card that she has with the junta. So what's the current relationship between Myanmar and the rest of the world, and how does that affect the people? We remember the big debate over sanctions in Iraq before Saddam Hussein was removed, and how that arguably was hurting the people more than hurting the government.
She's being very smart about this, about the sanctions question, which dominates the debate. And I think for many years it's clear she was very pro-sanctions. But things have changed. A lot of dissidents and others have become critical of sanctions. And there's also this question of broad-based sanctions versus targeted financial sanctions that really focus on the generals and their cronies. So many now are advocating for the lifting of broad-based sanctions, which really harm Burmese people at large, and instead focusing on tighter sanctions that just go after the bad guys. So I think right now she's listening. She's taking into account what people have to say. She's talking to experts. My understanding is while she was in detention, she read a lot. So I think she's taking the time to think carefully about how she should come out on this issue. Because once she comes out and says either I think sanctions should be lifted or they should be calibrated, it's going to be very difficult for governments to maintain sanctions if she says they should be lifted.
And what's the call to action for the rest of the world? What should the Obama administration be doing to support Suu Kyi right now, either in this interim period or after she speaks out?
Well, I have to give the Obama administration some credit because they've already taken a good first step. About a year ago, they reversed a 20-year policy, U.S. policy of isolation towards Burma, and they started some engagement. It hasn't borne any concrete results, but now that the elections are over and Aung San Suu Kyi is free, the Obama administration should really step up engagement with the government, with the new government, but also pro-democracy group, ethnic groups. I think it really needs to be more active in that way. And truth be told, there are a lot of other players involved with Burma that have a lot more leverage than we do, namely countries like China and India. And I think the United States needs to really coordinate efforts with these countries. That's going to be a big challenge because both are Burma's key military backers and trading partners. But this is where the rubber will hit the road for the international community to have some impact on Burma. And that's what the United States really needs to focus on.
Here's a skeptical comment about Aung San Suu Kyi from somebody posting on our webpage. They write, Suu Kyi says all the right things and is admirable, there is no question, but don't fool yourself. She is also out to avenge her father's assassination from these rival generals who are the descendants of her father's rivals. Mm-hmm. So does this come down to a battle of the clans rather than higher principles of democracy and human rights?
I don't really see any evidence of that. I mean, she's been doing a lot of interviews since she's been released, and she's calling for nonviolence. She's even talked about a meeting with her archenemy, General Tang Shui. She's made it clear that she doesn't want the military to fail. She said she just needs, they need to be professionalized and brought up to have some dignity. So I don't really see any indication that she is carrying out a personal agenda to avenge her father. Mm-hmm. I really think she's genuine in her effort to try to bring reconciliation to Burma.
Last thing, you wrote that the gap with China on this issue seems as large as ever, as Beijing hailed the elections as a critical step in Burma's transition to an elected government, ignoring the widespread irregularities and intimidation that took place prior to the election. Now, I can't imagine that China-Burma relations are high on the U.S. list of things to put pressure on China over, but are they a sticking point? Do they matter at all in U.S.-China relations?
Well, now with her release, certainly in the international attention it's bringing, it helps. But this, let's face it, this is not a high foreign policy issue for the Obama administration. But on the other hand, for the Chinese, you have to remember that the skirmishes and violence along the Burmese-China border are a destabilizing factor for China. If you remember last year, there was a flare-up between Burmese ethnic groups and the junta military that sent over 100,000 refugees fleeing into China. And China and Beijing was not happy about that. So there are some direct security-related issues where it gives China an interest in seeing stability in Burma.
Suzanne DiMaggio, Director of Policy Studies at the Asia Society. Thank you for filling in all our listeners so thoroughly on the situation with Aung San Suu Kyi and Burma.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer, WNYC. So we've talked about Aung San Suu Kyi now today. We've talked about disparities in life expectancy in this country. We've talked about Kathy Black and Joel Klein. We've talked about health reform. We've talked about earmarks. So what's left? How ping pong explains the world. Next.